Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. What to watch.
On Point of View.
Don't you like that? Is that your ringtone?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you call me, I let it go.
What to watch?
And then they ask me, what is your ringtone about?
It's about me.
Thursday,
it's
check
about,
me out.
It's about me. Anyway, Leroy, how are you? I've depressed you a little bit,
No, not at all. You know why? Because the conversations that happen when I'm sitting waiting to come on are the conversations that color in the rest of my week.
Oh,
because just like you, I'm having the same week.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, you get to go through it.
Yes, in real
on
time.
Air. Yeah.
Yes.
And for me, what's really interesting about how we've dealt with gender-based violence in this country is the fact that somehow all the time the argument is always centered around men.
Mm.
It's how men will say, we must do better about our women in the possessive, like women belong to you, like they are some, you know, contraption that you own and we must do better by our contraption, you know.
Mm.
You know when you say, I must do better by my cows, like you don't have agency, autonomy.
Mm.
And for me, it's starting to show itself more and more because even the ones who come on board and perform this, Yasmina, I would never do that. Other guys should be afraid of. I was saying earlier on to Thando Ukuthi, the rapist and the abductor and the kidnapper, they look like me.
Mm.
They're not someone who's funny in the corner, skulking behind a hoodie, holding a dagger in the nighttime. It's the guy you work with. It's the guy who's your physio. He's your yoga instructor. He's the guy you have coffee with at the office all the time. He is the person who you should be worried about. And what kind of life is that? What kind of life is it that as a woman in South Africa in 2025, where we're able to send people to the moon, where I can ask ChatGPT to create things for me, I can't do the basic thing of protecting someone? An age-old question. And then we want to make it about us as men. Hey, women must stop going on dating sites. Wena. So I live by the conversations because I think too many times we have them quietly in the corner.
Yeah.
And we call men out and we all say, but I'm not the problem. Akshem.
I'm not them.
Oh, wow. How happy are you that you don't get to be involved in the conversation because you're not one of the perpetrators? It's a countrywide thing.
Yeah. And we need to continue having these conversations. And I think we can't stop.
Yeah.
You know, we can't stop because someone's dying right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And we know. And I'll tell you this, as a man who has man friends, we have these conversations. We have a conversation about Omuntle jang ole. Hey, you wanna kiss is Cindy White Lamol. Hey, ole ufiti hambi. And no one says, "Aye, Jabu, we enzan. Hi, Tabu, Tula." You know, this is not how we do it. We don't ask Kuzani because you can't be the guy who stands out, right? You can't be the one who speaks up. But when something happens, ishmajita ishia, we should do better. Well, why don't you do better? You know better. You're adult. Dial on a driver's license. Dial a mara. We still have to be told how to do better. Hey, kikwata ham.
Amen. So, I want to see where to. Can I start with Wild Girls?
Yes, I loved Wild Girls.
Okay. You need to tell me.
Okay, so let me explain why I loved Wild Girls. It's the 1930s, right? Middle of the Great Depression, right? And you know the movies centered around this time are all very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the movies during the Second World War. Very dark, very heavy. We were chatting the other day when Oppenheimer and Barbie were trending that it's very heavy, right?
Yes.
This is the opposite end. It's the Great Depression, this family, the Wild family, they have these two kids. Well, more than that. And these two kids, the family, because the ones during a Great Depression, these ones have to go away because they're living quite opulently, right?
Uh-huh.
They have to run away into exile and just until the situation cools down a bit, right?
Uh-huh.
And these two girls have never been out in the world. But it's so hilarious to watch because it's like Legally Blonde, it's like White Chicks, that movie, where they're completely out of touch with the rest of the world. But they now have to go into exile and live with this man in some, you know, off-the-grid corner of the world. And you start seeing how they interact with their surroundings. But also what's uncovered is that there's an actual ploy in the family to disinherit them from what's rightfully theirs.
Mm.
It's absolutely captivating. The humor is stomach clutching hilarious, but what I loved about it is that it's something I could never have imagined from this era.
I also couldn't have imagined.
Yeah.
But hang on a minute, just work with me here.
Mm-hmm.
was the cinematography deliberate?
Yes, very deliberate. Okay. And you'll see with the other selection for this week where it's very, as you say, it's stylized. It's heavily stylized. But also there's bursts of color. And then there's also like race issues going on there because it is 1932.
There's a lot of green screen.
Absolutely a lot of green screen. But I think it's
also... So I wasn't sure whether that's intentional or not.
I think it's an issue of budget.
I did think so. I thought it's not an art thing.
No, it isn't.
So because it was so bad, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
For a minute I thought must be deliberate, right? And then I realized no, not all scenes are like this.
No.
And then there is no plot behind the intentionality
absolutely.
Of the look.
The issue here is that the story is meant to be set in the Pacific Northwest, right? So they come and they're living in sort of midtown, you know, America, where they're living quite opulently. And then they have to go and live in this shady part of the world. And the issue there is from a directorial point of view, the budget just wasn't working out because they also have to do quite a lot of these big scenes. And I think as much as the movie is a comedy, it's not a blockbuster. And so it doesn't necessitate the big budget. But I saw the green screen as well.
Green screen was screaming.
The green screen was a red screen.
Was a red screen. Yeah, the green screen was obviously there.
And you'll see when you see it in theaters, it's less jarring.
Really?
Yeah, it's less jarring because what
really?
You get...
Really?
Yeah. The characters of the sisters,
the
Wild Sisters,
yes.
is so big and there's so much happening oftentimes where... What I did hate was how the camera pans. Sometimes it's a bit nauseating.
No, the cinematography is terrible.
Yeah, no, it was...
It's terrible.
It was like iPhone 13.
What does save it is it's quirky.
And quick.
And it's, yeah.
yeah.
So, and the actors do save it too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
but
quirky and quick. And I think when you go into that, it's when when you go to a comedy show at your local pub, you're not expecting to have your world change. You just want a nice giggle to forget the evening and go back home.
Gisgage.
And you really will enjoy it.
Gisgage.
This one was my second favorite movie of the selection this week.
Okay.
It's called Wild Girls with an E and it's in theaters as of tomorrow.
Okay. All right. To live and die and live. Wow.
So...
What a story.
And for me, I don't know if I cared for it until I was in it.
Yeah.
So I saw,
it takes you. It takes you into valleys. It takes you ride that wave and wow, you keep discovering, oh my word, there's more depth and more depth. Yeah.
And I think there's something intricate about it because I was expecting terrible reviews for this.
Mm.
I was expecting it to be an eyesore because, again, stylistically, it's not like...
Yes,
great
it's...
Movie.
Can they fix the makeup?
Yeah.
Oh,
you can tell there's a picture.
Purple lipstick trying to look like a bruise was so jarring, was not funny.
There's a particular scene where the young lady has a purple wig and it's just like
it's
the
purple.
Lipstick. Yeah.
It's purple lipstick.
But I can tell you where the glue is.
Yes.
I can tell you the glue in makeup and it's possibly one of my worst
it's terrible makeup.
Hair moments on film. But the idea is that Muhammad goes home as after being a big hotshot Hollywood movie maker and he's gone home because he has to go bury his stepdad. And when he gets there, all the things he ran away from in Detroit is now following him back. And you start seeing these very hard conversations around family dynamics. I myself am a child of step-parenting. I've got several stepmoms, former and current.
Mm.
And it's so interesting to see how he navigates having to be in the family and being the beacon of hope that everyone in his hometown says, Muhammad, you've gone out, you've done the best. But he himself is not doing well, especially because the movie he's just made is not making bank as he thought. It's called To Live and to Die
and
To Live Again.
You'll be surprised. And I think very...
Biggest
very,
surprise.
You'll be surprised. And I think pleasantly so.
Yeah.
Pleasantly so.
This was what my pharma not expecting.
Yeah.
And then what I got out of the movie at the end. In fact, I continued watching because every time I was like, I'm waiting to get bored. And then I looked and it was an hour and 37 minutes later.
Another thing about it, I think that surprised... I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, right? But... For a while, we had these black American films centered around the same thing, drug abuse and whatever. So in the beginning, you're expecting the same narrative. You think, we've seen this before. We've seen Boy from the Hood. We've seen it all. But it's surprisingly, it's got depth.
And I think the point you make about it being familiar is what is interesting to me. Where the moment you walk in, you go, oh, one of these movies. And then you're pleasantly surprised minute by minute as it sort of disproves itself to not being the quintessential black movie and black scale.
And beautiful acting.
Beautiful acting. And I think it carries a lot of the movie because the movie itself doesn't have lots
of beautiful acting. Yeah,
budget. It's called To Live and Die and Live as in Theatres as of Tomorrow.
Phoenician Scheme.
Okay, this is my favorite movie.
I love all the actors. Yeah. Let me just. So for me, give me this cast. They can just do anything.
Scarlett Johansson.
It's Scarlett Johansson, my absolute favorite.
Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Hanks, Benicio del Toro. This movie, you go into this, and if it's either you'll love it or hate it. It's either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. The idea revolves around this guy, Zsa Zsa. Okay, he's a businessman who has 10 children, 9 sons, some of them adopted, because he has this whole thing where he's hedging his bets, right? He doesn't know if one of the adopted kids is going to be a genius. And has a daughter who's biological called Liesl, who's a nun.
Mm.
But it's in the vein of...
I love it.
It's ridiculous. This guy has been in 6... plane accidents. He comes out
and
of
survives,
them, you know, and
all
survives
all the time.
He's now trying to build an empire, and he's gonna die soon. He knows it's gonna happen, so he starts preparing his daughter to become
the nun, become the
heir. But there's this wonderful scene in the lift where there's an assassin who's ostensibly after Zsa Zsa, and they find him, and he's in the lift with them, you know? And they recognize this assassin. They go, hey, you're the assassin. So they all, like, sort of pull out their guns ready to kill this assassin, and then the assassin just swallows a cyanide pill. So he commits suicide. So everyone goes, oh, well, you know, we missed out on an opportunity to kill him. But the nun then takes holy water and commits his soul to God right there in the lift and moves on. It also has Michael Cera, who has a wonderful... His comedic timing is impeccable. It's awkward. It's funny.
It's quirky. It's sharp. It's I love this cast, man.
It's also ridiculous.
Brilliant.
It's also ridiculous.
It's brilliant. I loved it.
I think if there's a movie for the week, it's The Phoenician Scheme.
For me, yeah. No. This was it's brilliant because you know they remind you why they're paid actors.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Because not anybody could have pulled this off.
Yeah.
But this is the brilliance of real good actors.
And also, it's ridiculous.
But they can do it.
And
see?
We all buy into it. Yeah, it's the quintessential suspension of disbelief, right? Yeah. You go there and you go, I know this is crazy.
And
I
they
know this.
Carry it off so beautifully.
And a bit of gore as well, hey?
No. Please, people, do not think we are speaking of an award-winning film. That's not what we're doing here. It's quirky. It's weird. Mm. It's funny. Mm. It's gory. Mm. It's all of those things. But my goodness, these actors, and they gel so well.
It looks like they knew they were coming to work.
Man.
And it reminds me a little bit of the Ocean series.
Yes.
You know, where you sort of don't know when they're acting and not acting because they're so good at it, right?
That you
even look beyond.
They're beautiful. So I was thinking, okay, these guys, they must have had a real, real great rapport amongst themselves as actors.
Yeah.
I mean, some things you can't mimic and you cannot even pretend to have. They must have had, as a group of actors, really great rapport. Whatever has happened, I don't know what they did to create that.
And they all have ridiculous comedic timing.
They're amazing.
Timing is otherworldly. I mean, Scarlett Johansson is not a natural comedian.
No, but...
But she gets it. She's on there. And a lot of them also, the comedy comes from being... serious, right?
But you know what else I think was evident for me here? Experience.
Yes.
These are all experience. So you could be great, but this is the kind of thing that you just need to have experience. You need the added years to know exactly what to do.
And I think, because one of the critics said this, and I got it immediately, you can tell who's done improv theatre.
Ah, exactly.
People who've gone into a scene and they went, and they go, yes, let's. And Tom Hanks throws something at you, and you don't go, oh, you go, yes, let's. Uh-huh. And you continue in the scene. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the scenes might have been workshopped just because of how it's the wit, man. You can't get the timing
and
like that.
I also think not everything that happened here was scripted.
No. I'm 100% sure it wasn't.
I think things, they were allowed to play, they came to work and they had fun. And I think when the whoever was saying, the director or the stage manager said cut, everybody burst out laughing
afterwards. And then they went to have a drink and afterwards, exactly, in the evening, and they went
and they remain great friends.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It's called The Phoenician Scheme. It's in theaters tomorrow. If there's one you watch for me, please.
Okay.
It's this one.
So this one, The Last Rodeo. Little serious, The Last Rodeo.
Yeah.
I don't know who should watch this. But nah, being a South African right now, ke fragile, ne? Right now. I'm a little bit fragile. I'm feeling sorry for myself as a South African in this gangster paradise, ne? I don't know if it's for me this week, ne? I just want to save my heartbreak for Bo Olora. I can show ke Last Rodeo.
Okay.
And it's a good film.
It really is.
You know who should be watching this? Mm-mm. Someone living maybe right now in Switzerland or something where not much is happening.
Quiet.
Beautiful Alps.
Yeah.
Hana Matata. And they don't have to lock their gate.
Night. Yeah. Abo? Wherever your 100 Yeah.
Then you can watch and give yourself problems or other people by
and
watching
view them
this
and
thing.
See them. What I appreciated about this, and I think you'll remember this, there was these Sunday afternoon movies that she used to watch where it was Bo Lassie and Bo Heidi.
Yeah, Christmas.
Yeah,
Christmas after lunch.
Yeah, Christmas. Because, I mean, this Opa is a rodeo sort of, you know, aficionado. This guy used to ride the bull, you know, and he's way over. You know, does not remind you, I'm not going to show my age, hey, the actor who played J.R. Ewing in Dallas.
Okay. The people who killed
who killed J.R.
So the people who were born in the 2000s have no idea what you're talking
even
about.
Even the 90s.
No idea.
Because for me, about? I looked at it and I kept the picture in my mind. My mom always
I hadn't
tells
thought
me
of that, but
my mom tells all the time about Bobby Ewing and J.R. Ewing and how there was a summer where she was so annoyed because the soapy ended with J.R. Ewing dying.
Who killed J.R.?
And it was a tagline. But it was a whole summer where the question was who killed J.R.? And then we came back the next season to find out that it was a dream.
You're too old for the stuff. No. And this question, who killed JR, was global.
Dude, it was
a global question.
It was a world event. Yeah, what about Beyonce? Beyonce being what she is now.
It was a
had it happened at that time, Beyonce would have been a nobody because the question was, who killed JR? And then we came back and we found out JR was having a dream. It was all, TV stopped for
such
a while.
Such an anticlimax when the season returned.
Because like,
who killed JR?
No. So this reminds me a bit of it because it has that old world very much in the Midwest. But it's not a bad movie. Watch it And you might shed a tear or two. It's called The Last Radiant.
It's very sweet. It's, you know, in fact, like, if you're a grandmother, watch it with your... How about Chakitsi Manama? Watch it with them.
And relive those wonderful days of J.R. Ewing.
You'll feel a little bit okay. Okay, what's happening at the Joburg Theatre?
So, the Joburg Theatre is playing host as from tomorrow to the 15th of June to Lolia, which is a story set in a South African village. It's about these two people who are from two different cultural backgrounds coming together to really pit love against culture. They are trying to figure out how they're going to navigate their relationship, their love in a backdrop where each of them are very entrenched in their own individual cultures, which don't gel very well. It is, as always, a wonderful time to watch the complexities of South African cultures coming together, clashing as we do on a daily basis. And also trying to find how a couple is trying to create a legacy for themselves. They're trying to build a world for themselves where they can be in love and loved. And yet the backdrop that they're living in is very different and it won't allow them. For me, it gave me nostalgia from the content because I wasn't around at the time. But those, you know, interracial relationships of...
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.